Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for this day. And that we could gather ourselves together, Father, in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And according to thy word, Lord, where two or three are gathered in thy name, there you be in the midst of us. We thank you, Lord, for your presence. Now break the word of life to us, Lord, and further open our understanding, Lord, to the plan and your purpose that you have foreordained even before the foundation of the world, that this thing be fulfilled. And we want to thank you, Father, that what you have so put down in your oracles, in these testaments, both in the old and in the new, Father, for us to see, for us to understand what is in your mind, Father. And we want to thank you, Lord, that you make it so special, Lord, in this way, written and foretold, Father, in the feast that you have given to Israel, that we can see how this thing unfold, Lord, and this thing testify, Lord, in the fulfillment when Jesus Christ came and fulfilled all that which was foretold of him. We want to thank you for this, Lord. Asking for your blessing now in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated. So let us now go to the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Alright. Now our last week we finished off with the Passover. The Feast of the Passover. Now let us look at that the Feast of Unleavened Bread chart. And just to understand. Now, in our study of this feast, we are looking at the parallel. Okay? What the children of Israel did in those Old Testament time, when they went through all this feast with the Lord. And how that this feast actually foretold or reflect what God was doing to give Israel the reality of the Messiah that is coming for them, and what will be accomplished for them as a nation, and until Christ come back and set up his kingdom on earth. So we know that there are seven feasts altogether, but now, last week we looked at the Passover, and we are looking at the New Testament. Now below here we have Passover, the top here we have the New Testament, and then below here we have the Old Testament. So these are the feasts, these are the Old Testament rituals, or the feasts, how they carry it out. So what we have here is that, in the Passover we said there is only one day. And the Old Testament, the Jews have to take the blood of the lamb apply on the lintel and then the doorpost, and then they will roast the Passover lamb and eat it within inside the house. Okay? And that signifies the death of the Passover lamb signifies the Lord's death. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is known as the Lamb of God. Because that's when John the Baptist, when he preached, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." Now, probably that is probably the first time you hear it. "Behold the Lamb of God." What he was proclaiming was to make the children of Israel understand that he was fulfilling the Paschal Lamb, the Passover Lamb. Okay? If they, I don't know how many of those Jews recognize it, because every time they have the Passover, the feast of the Passover that they carried out, they took the lamb and they roast it, and then they ate it in the night, they took the blood and the blood of the doorpost. I wonder how many of them realized that when Jesus came and John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world," that they immediately can see, okay, this is talking about the Paschal Lamb, because it's the Passover. Because we need the blood. And how did the Lord pass over them? And things like that. I don't know how many of them recognize that. And that's the same thing about it. If the prophecy would be fulfilled in our day, today, certain things that the Bible talks about, prophecy for our day, and if it comes to pass, do we recognize it? That is the question. And that's why one of the messages the Bible preached on, he called it recognizing the day and its message. So we need to recognize God's message for our day. We should, that's not the Bible. Jesus always encouraged his disciple. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. Be filled with supplication. You know. And that's why what it is important. And you cannot watch and you if you do not know the Word of God. So when you know the Word of God, then you know what to look for. Amen. That's important. So now, we have it Passover, and I told you last week that the Passover, the cross, it points to the cross. Now, over this side, I said that the Passover, okay, it points to the cross where Jesus died. He is the Passover Lamb, or the Lamb of God. Now, the death of Jesus Christ, the cross, gives back to God more than sins, the sin that happened in the Garden of Eden, have robbed him of. You understand? The death of Christ, His only begotten Son, as the Passover Lamb, bring back, restore back to God, or give back to God more than what sin had robbed Him of. Now we know this to be true because we find it hard to understand is that when you look into the book of Genesis, where it was written, the Bible said it was not good that man should be alone. Now we realize that when God created Adam, He said that it is not good for man to be alone. It is reflecting Himself that He, as being a creator, as Almighty Spirit, He do not want to be alone. You understand what I'm saying? Now I believe that if you are stranded on an island by yourself, all by yourself, now for 1 month, 2 months, 3 months past, you're all by yourself. Now you wish that you have somebody to talk to. You understand that? You can't talk to the monkey. They look at you and they're just kick, and then they run off. Okay? And then you're all by yourself. So you want to have somebody to talk to, definitely. You see? So, when God said that, we realized that when Jesus came and He said that, unless a grain of seed, alright, fall to the ground and die, it will not bring forth fruit. Do you understand that? So, that one seed, the lone seed, God created, God bring forth His only begotten Son. And God planted the seed down on the earth. And that's what happened on the cross, He died. So when He died, He bring forth much fruit, and we are His fruits. Jesus Christ, the Bible has called Him the firstborn among many brethren. Alright, He's called the firstborn among many brethren. And so we are all brothers and sisters to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Alright. Another thing I want to share with you is that all these feasts that we have here, remember it is God's joy. Now, you might talk about the death of Christ. Well, how come it's a joy to God that His Son should die? kind of odd, isn't it? You see? But God is sudden. Sometimes there is a reason for something to happen to us. Now they don't realize that there is a purpose behind. You see? And if you have realized that even the book that Brother Yingfan just now was sharing about from prison to praise. That book which was first given to me by a brother from New Zealand. He said, Brother Yingfan, read this book. And I remember the author's name is still out there, Merlin Clareton. If you look at the book, you read the book, I could not believe how God dealt with his life. Even just like we see the testimony that I once showed you on, that I download from YouTube and show it to you about some of those IDF or Israel Defense Force when they went into Gaza and fight. And yet with all the bullets flying around, none of them were killed. And so the same thing with Marine Carretta when he fought in the Vietnam War. He was there. And yet he said with all the bullets flying around him, none of them touched him. And he was not even killed. You know. So if God have a reason for your life, he will preserve it for a certain purpose. If your time is up and you need to go, God will call you home. You agree, I understand? The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. And we must always remember, blessed be the name of the Lord. Sometimes we feel flowers when our young ones die. You know. And I remember in one movie that I saw, and about this man, you know, telling the other person, because they want, you know, to take away, I mean, they are not going to defend the son is going to die. And he was saying, you know, my son is born to live. It is not for me to bury him. It is for my son to bury me. And it is true that sons bury their father, their parents. Not the parents bury the son. Because parents live out their days already, but the children are just born. Right? Whether they be a young man or teen, they have not lived out their life. How is it that we bury the son, our children? You know. But yet, that is human thinking. But it is God who deals with every one of our life. And I've never failed to trust in what God can do. And I've never failed to believe that He will keep His word. Because I've been through experience all these many years to know. You know. So with all these fears that God gave to Israel, and they have to go, they have went through, been through so much hardship, what is it done? And yet they still continue to believe in God. Now, last week we talk about the Passover, there are questions that comes up. Now I said this is that we must remember when we talk about this feast, remember that we are talking about this feast, we are talking about the first time they kept this feast, the first time they kept it. So when they had the first Passover, remember they had the first Passover where? In Egypt. Okay, so we take that and study what happened the first time they took it. So after they left Egypt, they were out there in the desert. They still keep the feast, but different from the first time, how they approach it. Okay, and then when they were in Canaan land. Remember, we said the first time when they were there taking this Passover, they took the lamb on the 10th day. They kept it until the 14th day. Is that right? Got it. Okay, so on that night when they took it, they ate it with unleavened bread. Is that right? Then after that night, when the early morning approaches, they left Egypt. Remember? So, what we read over in Exodus, the what we read over in Leviticus and Deuteronomy, we find that there are additional things in Deuteronomy and Leviticus that you don't find in Exodus. That you must know. So now my question last time, last week we were talking about is that they roast the lamb. And the people in the farm, all those that are in the home, with the door closed, the blood is already applied on the doorpost. No one should go outside. So the lamb is in the home. So I said the lamb is placed on a table. They will cut it and they eat it. And they gird it. Nobody sits down. Everybody stands. But now, of course, they don't stand. They sit and eat. Is that right? And now the thing is right, I'm asking is, when the night when they were in Egypt, if the lamb was roast, it is placed on the table. Now, if it's not placed on the table, it would have to be somewhere in the kitchen on the area where they roast it. And then they would take the plate and they would cut it and put it on the plate and then eat at the table where there are the unleavened bread. Is that right? Okay. Now, let's go to the book of Luke chapter 22 now. Because we still, there is always this question about, did Jesus Christ partake of the Passover? Last Sunday we discussed it, but I want to show you something here. To the book of Luke chapter 22, verse 13. They went and they found as he had said unto them that they make ready the Passover. And when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire, I have desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and break it and give unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Now, taking this passage of scripture, now I let me say this. I use King James Version because it's one of the best translations that I can get. Okay? And it's the word for word translation. But problem is that when we have word for word translation, sometimes you pick the wrong word in another language. Do you understand what I'm saying? Huh? You see. So, now, what is, the question is, did Jesus partake of the Passover lamb? Was it on the table? Was he eating on the table with the disciples? Now, as I said, look at the calendar. We know that Jesus Christ died on the Friday. The calendar, if you look at the calendar, we know that Jesus Christ died on a Friday. Okay? And the Friday, he says, in the evening, the lamb was to be slain. Okay? That is on the 14th day. The Bible always says, on the 14th day at evening time is the Passover. Not the 14th day itself. Do you understand? So, the Passover was to be slain between 3 p.m. and 6 p.m. And when do they eat it? After 6 p.m., it becomes the Sabbath. Because the Hebrew, the Jewish time begins 6 p.m. the day before. Today is Sunday, right? To us. You understand? But to them, Sunday started yesterday at 6 p.m. But to us, it is only 12 midnight. So they are 6 hours earlier. So once it passed 6 p.m., it becomes the 15th. Okay? But because it's the Roman calendar on the 14th, but in the Jew, 6 hours on Friday belongs to the Sabbath on the Saturday. So that's why a lot of people get kind of messed up trying to figure that out. Okay, so now, if Jesus Christ died on a Friday, did he not die on a Friday? So what time was he on the cross? What time was he on the cross? What time? Come on, it's to remember. 9 to 3. Never 9 to 6. 9 to 3. Always look at the horizon. 9 to 3. For the next 6 hours. Because 3 p.m. onwards, the body before that must be taken out, because between 3 hours, their lamb must be slaughtered and roasted. So Jesus Christ died on the cross, and he gave up the spirit by 3 p.m. They had to remove down the body. So he died 6 hours from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. So that's why the Bible says the Passover was 9. So they quickly removed the body down between this 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. and then bury him, put him in the sarcophagus. They don't even have time to embalm him. Do you understand? So they just put him into the sarcophagus, and then they go back home and they took the Passover at 6 p.m. Now 6 p.m. come, it's already Sabbath. On the 15th. Again. So now if we read this portion here in Luke 22, the Bible is saying that he took the Passover, right? To sit down and eat the Passover. Now I disagree with many of those people who say that the Jews did eat. Some say no. Jesus, there was this high day. So Jesus died on the high day. So the Jewish guys died on a Thursday. If you read the book of John, they are mentioned called high day. High day means it is a very important festival. But to them, they think that it is not the 15th, but it's the Sabbath. And the 14th part of it, which belongs to the Passover. They think that it was another day or 3 days before that. So there are all these theories. Remember how they said that Jesus Christ said, as Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the whale 3 days and three nights. So they want to make Jesus Christ die on a Wednesday. Some make him die on a Thursday. So whatever reason they have. But as I said this, all the feasts prefigure, the feasts that we have of Jehovah, they prefigure Jesus Christ, the work of God in Christ Jesus. So there's no way they can die on Wednesday, no way they can die on Thursday. No way. Do you understand? No matter if they try to use scientific so-called reasoning of 72 hours, 3 days, 3 nights must be 72. No, there's always a speech. You understand what I'm saying? A speaker of speech doesn't mean that it is exactly what you are saying. Okay? So now, here we look at it. I want you to look at verse 15. And 16. With desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not eat any more thereof until it is finished in the kingdom of God. So it seems that, Jesus saying, I desire to eat this Passover. But I'll eat it, but I will not eat it anymore. It seems to be saying that he ate it, but he will not eat it anymore. But now, that's what the translation problem we have. But I want to read you to you from this new Numeric New Testament. And I love this Bible very much. Okay, this is established by numerical structure. And other Bible translation, few other, about three or four, were translated the way that this one was translated. Okay? Now, let me read it to you here. In verse 15. Okay, verse 14. And when the hour was come, he sat down and the apostle with him. And he said to them, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I shall not eat of it until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Do you understand? You understand what he says? For I say unto you, I shall not eat of it. It's quite different from what King James says. Is that right? Do you understand? Are you seeing a difference? King James is saying that, for I say unto you, I will not eat any more thereof. As if that he already eaten, and I will not eat it anymore. Is it not right? Huh? But here in this one it says, for I said to you, I shall not eat of it, until it is fulfilled in my Father's kingdom. Now, I know that Jesus did not take the Passover lamb because there's no Passover lamb on the table. Or being roast because it was a Thursday. Is that right? It was not a Friday approaching the Saturday. It was a Thursday evening. The table was prepared. Yes. That he may eat it. But they came over there and that's what people said that he kept it. And they also reasoned that there was this provision provided for those who have to go on a journey early so they can eat it. And someone said that there was a provision provided after the actual day for those who came home late or came for whatever reason, they can partake of it. Now, I don't care whatever tradition they have. We are looking at the type and the shadows of the Bible. Are you following me? Are you following me on this? Okay, now, we can look again at this passage. Now, look at verse 17. And he took the cup, and he gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourself. Remember, and. The word and here in the Hebrew word, or as I said, there are a lot of and in the Bible. And, right? So, this Hebrew and way of speaking, God wanted to join everything together. But it doesn't mean that that is a conjunction. Okay? So, if we take the word and away, he took the cup. Now, we do not know how long after that he took the cup, after he speak. They are sitting at the table, right? Okay, so when you read that event, don't say that 1 second after another second, this thing continued. Not necessary. Okay, so he took the cup. Now, that is verse 17. If you go to verse 20, likewise also he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is a new testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Now, here is another, he took the cup here. Now, in verse 17, he took the cup. So how many times did he take the cup? There's only once. It's just only that it's an emphasis. Do you understand that? Huh? So we know that in verse 18, he said, for I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine. I will not drink of it. Okay. And he did that to the same bread. Now, Jesus took the bread. He took the cup. Did he drink the cup? Did he eat the bread when he break it? No. He never drink it. He never eat the bread. When he did it to say, this is my body. Share it among yourself. Because he is the bread. He cannot drink his own cup but represent his blood. For that is for the body. He can't eat the Paschal lamb because the lamb is him. Do you understand? That's why he says, I will not drink of this, I will not eat of this Passover until I come in the Father's kingdom. Now, when you talk like this, I will no longer eat of this Passover until I come into the kingdom of God, right? So when he said, when I come into the kingdom of God, and then I will eat it, what does it mean? He said, you cannot say that when he comes back to the children of Israel, in their kingdom, he's going to eat the Paschal lamb with them. No. Do you understand that? What is the kingdom of God? What is the kingdom of God? Huh? In verse 60, I will not anymore eat thereof until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Brother and sister, we are the kingdom of God. And Christ is eating with us whenever we are breaking bread. Even now, Christ is feasting with us when we are breaking this bread. You understand that? Huh? Everything in the spirit is spiritual. When we fellowship with Christ, we are eating of His Word. He's sharing with us. For He is the Word of life. He received the Word from the Father and He gave it out to you and me. So the expression of this many times caused a lot of people to look for the literal. Not understand that many times they are all speech that point to the spiritual side or the spiritual things of God. Okay, all right. So with that, let's go to the book of Deuteronomy look at verse 16, chapter 16. Sorry. Now remember this. Well, this is a series of study about this feast and how it related to us. Okay, in the spiritual, how they reflect. Deuteronomy 16, and I will read from verse 2. Thou shalt therefore sacrifice the Passover unto the Lord thy God of the flock of the herd in the place which the Lord hath chosen to place his name there. Remember this, no other place. Can we sacrifice? Are the children of Israel allowed to sacrifice? Now, he said, Brother, we have read this text before. Okay, yes, we are going to read a lot of texts back and forth, more times than once, or twice or three times. Because they are all connected, and I want you to remember it. Now, one of the reasons why many Christians, and I think if you are a Christian and you talk to, and I would believe that 99% of Christians that you talk to, many of them are not students of the Word. It means to say that they don't spend time studying. Okay? But that's one thing. But the problem also is that in many times, many churches, you go on Sunday's fellowship, they usually preach a simple message, an encouragement, this and that. And nothing else was talked about this. Okay? Now, the reason why I'm teaching all this many years is that you may be able to see these things, how you reflect and you remember. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, for example, this verse, how important is this verse? When God told the children of Israel, you cannot sacrifice the Passover in any of your gates. Now remember, I told you what the gate represents in the Bible. The gate represents the authority, the place, okay, the dominion of a certain area, or a kingdom, or a structure of people. So there are 12 tribes, there are 12 gates, 12 authority, they have their elders, you understand that? Okay, so God said, you cannot sacrifice this lamb in any of your tribe. You must only sacrifice in one place where I put my name. Do you understand that? You see. And it's important to observe it. But don't forget that when we're talking about this lamb that was done in the first time when they were in Egypt, it was in the room, it was in the house. So there are many houses, they all do it there because they have to do it in the house because God is going to take the firstborn in that very night. But once they are out of it, they have to have a place where they sacrifice their lamb. Every family that would eat, they had to come there and sacrifice their lamb and then go back and eat it. Now, so God said, there's only one place that you can sacrifice. And that's why they have to go to Jerusalem. Jesus has to keep the feast in Jerusalem. All the males, not about the female, the male are the one that God called for. There are three times in the year, in three feasts, the male must appear before God. And not empty-handed. Do you see? So now the Bible said there's only one place God sacrificed and you cannot sacrifice in any of the gate. Now if we can understand this, then we realize the importance of God's word. Huh? Now, obviously, all these gates that we have, like you're all there in the 12 tribes, now here we have in the called the church. The church, there are so many different denominations. God, you cannot sacrifice, you cannot break the word of God according to your denominational authority. The creeds and dogmas and whatever your headquarters says. No, you can't. That's why in the book of Revelation, the last churches, God says, the church has become lukewarm. I was spilling out my mouth. Does God mean business? He meant what he said and said what he meant. And that's how important it is. So we need to understand why God is showing this. And that's why children of Israel failed to see that when Jesus came, they didn't recognize him. They were so much into the traditions of the elders, whether it be the Pharisaical opinion or the Sadducees' opinion or any other smaller group's opinion. And that was why God never sent his messenger to any of these gates. John the Baptist came up from the wilderness as a wild man. He's not attached to any, not affiliated to any of these groups. Do you understand? You see. So that is important for us to know. Okay, let us go on to verse 3 as well. Thou shalt eat thou shalt eat no leavened bread with it. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread therewith, even the bread of affliction. For thou came out of the land of Egypt in haste, that thou mayest remember the day when thou came forth out of the land of Egypt, all the days of your life. Now, this was Deuteronomy, was describing how that when they came out of Egypt on their way to the promised land. Okay? So out there in the wilderness, while they came out there in the land of Sukkoth, and then later on in the wilderness, they kept this feast. And Moses now told them that when you eat the Paschal lamb, you eat the Passover, you cannot eat unleavened bread with it. I mean, you cannot eat leavened bread with it. No leavened bread must be seen in your home on that day for 7 days. Alright? Okay, let us go over to Exodus chapter 12 and verse 15 to 20. 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread. Even the first day you shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eat leavened bread from that first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And in the first day there shall be a holy convocation, and in the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. And you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in that same day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. It says armies. But of course, the word army is translated from the word, you can translate as the word the whole. Okay, H-O-R-L-H-O-R-D-E, whole, right? Pronounce whole. All right, the whole family of Israel, that is the whole group. But the word can be also translated as army. And that's why the songs we sing sometimes, we are the army of the Lord. Okay, the people of God, the army of God. All right? And verse 18, in the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at even you shall eat unleavened bread until the first and 20th day, until the 1 and 20th day of the month at even. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses. For whosoever eat that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. You shall eat nothing leavened. In all your habitation shall you eat unleavened bread. Now let us look at the calendar and look at this unleavened bread. The Passover is 1 day. The unleavened bread is 7 days. Okay? So what we have here, this is a Passover in the evening time. The 14th day is called the day of the preparation as well. Okay? Or the preparation for the Passover. But the Passover is only slain after 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. and then eaten after 6 p.m. Okay? So after 6 p.m. start, it's already the Sabbath. The Sabbath means a rest. So now they are eating the lamb at rest. And I said, this is very true. Now, if we, when we are sinners, out there in the world, we do what we want, whether we believe in God or we don't believe in God, whether we are atheists or not, we do everything. But we find out, no, you know, everything is fine, right? Okay? There are some people that want to, they join the, or they just take up Buddhism, for example, and they will chant the, what they call it, mantra or whatever, or sutra, whatever. You know, and they read and they study it, so they keep themselves at peace. That's one of the religions. Okay. And even in yoga, you can go and sit in the whatever position and you do your meditations and you can find peace first. You can find peace in anything you want to. But the question is that, are the peace everlasting? That's another question altogether. Okay, so now what we know is that the lamb was eaten after 6 p.m., which happened to be the Sabbath. And God said no work should be done. So you're eating the Passover lamb at the time when you are resting. Okay? Now, we know that the Passover lamb or the Passover is the first of all the seven feasts. It set the foundation for the rest of the feast. And it must be on the foundation of the blood. Now salvation, there's none if there's no blood. If there's no blood, there's no atonement, there's no propitiation for sin, and after that there's not even redemption. You understand that? Okay? So with the blood shed, the lamb is for you and me. So we eat the lamb with the unleavened bread at a time when it is at a period of where you are safe and secure and at rest in the house. Now, it says here you are 7 days. Okay? Now here is the first day. The first day, so it is a Sabbath. It is a holy convocation. No Sabbath work. No laboring. Except for what you need to do to eat. To cut yours, wash your plate, clean your plate, put food on the plate, and eat it. You understand? No Sabbath or severe work to be done. Any laboring work is not allowed. So that's the first day. And for 7 days, all this bread is unleavened bread. No leavening must be found in the house. Now, I said this, that leavening is corruption. Yeast. And if you know what yeast is, if you ever, you know chow tofu. You know what chow tofu is? Didn't you understand what chow tofu is? That bean curd, fermented bean curd. I don't know how people eat that. They say it was good. Anyway, but it smells all awful. Because why? It's fermented. And that's why fermentation stinks. And if you make wine, you would know. When the moment you make wine, it starts to ferment and sour, it smells bad. After it passes a stage where the alcohol content is high enough to kill the bacteria, it doesn't have the smell. But when it comes to leavening, nothing is allowed. That's why the cup of wine is allowed on the table, because there's no more leavening. It has passed its stage. You understand? So, that's what God told them. There should be no leavening in the house. Anything that is fermenting, your dough, your yeast, you're making wine, not allowed in the house. Making kimchi is also leavening, huh? You let it ferment at that time. Not allowed. You see. So, because it represents corruption, corruption represents evil. You understand? Anything that corrupts is evil. So, not allowed in the house. So, when we talk about the house, what house it represents? It represents the house of God. Do you understand? When we come to eat, we are here to fellowship. We are here to eat the Word of God. We have to understand to break this bread. We want to eat it. So we are not allowed to mix it with leavening. And even leavening the corrupt God even have one place in the New Testament. We know it is called what? Spiritual fornication. Spiritual fornication is corruption. It's evil. Because when a man is joined to his wife, if he goes to another woman, that's not his wife. That is evil. And it's corruption. That's leavening. He leavened himself. And if he got contracted with some disease from the woman, he passed it to his wife. Do you understand that? You see? So all this prefigure for 7 days. Why 7 days? Now we probably want to know why 7 days. Because we realize later on that in New Testament we see there are 7 church ages. Throughout all these ages, and we know, we study, you can see. That after Christ resurrected, except the heaven, the church started on the day of Pentecost. 20 years down the road, what happened? 20 years down the road, what happened? With the Antichrist spirit working, the church turned into a state of organization. Huh? Why? Because you have these doctrines of the Nicolaitans. Or the Nicolaitans came along and tried to separate the people. Say, okay, I'm a preacher. We are the clergymen. We are the big guy. The rest of you are the laymen. You're the laity. You listen to us. You obey what we say. And that's how we get the organization. But 200 plus years down the road, 280 something, the Church of Rome started to form and then become the Church of Rome. But you have the Pope as the big guy. And come under that, you have the Monsignor, the Cardinals, and whatever else. And then they will not allow the layman to own the Bible, to read the Bible, because they said that you are not servants of God, you are not trained. We are the clergymen, we are the priests, we are the one that will interpret the Bible for you. The Bible never said that. The Bible tells us only one thing, that God has fivefold ministry, that He will send this man, the ordained, to go out there to preach the gospel, to teach the word, and the rest of you, as Paul would say, it is wise for you to go and search the scripture and see if those things were true. Is that right? Huh? Every one of us have the right to read the Bible and interpret it. Because anytime you read a book, whether you read a storybook, you start interpreting. Am I not true? Is that not true? When you read the Bible, it said, the second you went up the hill, your mind thinking about the hill is very big, or the hill is very small, and the well is there, there are three here, you start interpreting. Is that not true? Because if you want to read, we are in the same book, a same passage, we are asked anyone here to describe the scene. Every one of us describe differently. Because we interpret it. Is not that true? That's true. That's why God sent man to interpret the Bible for you, and for you to really look at it and check it out, whether it's according to the Word of God. And the Spirit of God will guide. So the 7 days are not a breath. Represent the 7 church ages. So after the calendar, just start what happened to the church, one age and after another. But through all these churches, there's so much leavening in the church as a whole. And God started to deal with the individual. He's no longer dealing with organization, because the church has gone into organization. So God began to deal in the individual. There were always those who believe in God sent a messenger to pull them out. So Martin Luther is a good example. Martin Luther, who was a priest, and God opened his eyes. And he realized, the just shall live by faith. Not by penance. Not by saying Hail Mary. Not by going to the mass. No. Not by going to the priest and tell them, Father, I have sinned. Who is the priest? Who is our high priest? Our Lord Jesus Christ. So he just go on your knee in the corner of the room and say, Lord, I have sinned. You don't go to the priest and tell you what you have sinned. Because there's corruption and evil in that. You understand? But God is calling out those, and those that saw the light comes out, those are the ones that must continue to keep and eat the unleavened bread. So 7 church ages. Okay, here is the first day, Passover. Okay, and the day after the 7th day, this is the 7th day, it's the 22nd, and it's also the 15th is the Sabbath, not Passover. And the 22nd is also the Sabbath. Now, 22nd will make it the 8th day. Is that right? Is it not true? We are 7 days in a week. Every time we cycle back, it's always the 8th day. And Jesus was circumcised on the 8th day. The children of Israel were told to circumcise their baby on the 8th day. Why? I already told you that. Because the life in the body of the child is greatly strengthened on the 8th day by a lot of blood cells. So when they circumcise, the healing is very quick. Okay? 8 day, 8 in the Bible numerical structure represents what? Something new. Because it's the 8th. You said, Do Re Mi Fa So La Ti, Do Re Mi Fa. Start over again, only one octave higher or lower. Rainbow colors are 7. 7 days in a week, 7 notes in a musical score. Huh? And our one that is higher is the 8th. It begins again. So, Sunday to Saturday, 1 week. Sunday start, another week. It's the 8th day. But here again, remember here, this is the 8th. 22nd is the 8th. So what does it mean? And it's also a Sabbath. If the church has closed up, what comes after that? The tribulation into a new heaven, new earth. Is that right? Not new heaven, new earth yet, but the millennium. Millennium is the 7th day. Is it not true? 7,000. Remember? 6,000 for men. The millennium is 1,000 years, the 7th of the 1,000. And Christ will rule. But the 7th is not a day of rest. Because there's still work to do dealing with mankind, in a sense. But the earth is resting. Then after the millennium is over, we come into the new heaven, new earth, which is the 8th and eternal day. Got it? Alright? So now, you see how God changes His order. We have this 8th day, but it continues right now until the 50th day. Alright? You only got Siva. This is still Sabbath. All these are Sabbath. Okay, so now Pentecost is on the 5th. 50th day. 50 represents liberty, freedom. And that's why the church fellowship on a Sunday. And also that Christ did not resurrect on what we call Friday or Saturday. He resurrected on a Sunday. And when the Spirit came back, He came back on a Sunday. Life must begin anew. Christ resurrected on a Sunday, the 8th day of the week. Because this is the 1st day. Alright? I'm sorry, this is the 1st day. Then you come here the 8th day. So you find that there is always a cycle of 8 representing new life, new order. If Christ started on the 8th day, the church started on the 8th day. And yet it's the 50th day from the Passover. You see the pattern on this. Okay? So now let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 to 8. Purge off therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Now, read carefully here. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. It says here, that you may be a new lump, not new leavening. There's no such thing as new leaven. Leavening is yeast. Yeast is always corrupt. So you purge out your old leaven so that you become a new lump. If you take yeast and mix it into a dough, how do you remove the leaven? You can't. You see? So here he's used in a spiritual sense that we as a lump, a body, we are all made from dust. We are all born in sin. Is that not right? And we have all our own ideas. Everyone, the Bible says, we each have gone his own ways. Into our own religion, our own ideology, or philosophy, or whatever. So what happened to us? We are leavened. Is that not right? So now God says, oppose that you punch out the leaven and become a new lump. And we know how it is possible. It is only possible by the blood of Jesus Christ. By the spirit of life that is in the blood that came by on the day of Pentecost, they purge us to get rid of this old leaven. Okay, and it says here in verse 8, therefore let us keep the feast. Again, the feast always represent and point to that one particular feast, which is the Passover, in which on that particular night the unleavened bread is taken, is eaten together with the Passover. So my important about this feast is pointing to this particular feast of Passover together with the unleavened bread. But not in that which the children of Israel partook all the time. You understand? Like that which we as a Christian, we are partaking now. Okay? So keep the feast. Not with your own leaven. So when you come back, don't have your own idea. When you come to eat the word of God and learn the word of God and worship God and fellowship God, don't have your own opinion. Because you know when Paul is talking to this, wrote this to the Corinthians. Now these are Corinthians, these are Gentiles, a lot of Romans, a lot of Grecians, a lot of Persians. They all have their ideas. You know your Greek gods? Hold on. I mean, I think the Greek gods, I don't know how many Greek gods and goddesses they are. Whole lot of them. Venus, that is the Hellenistic, but that is the Grecian one. And then we have Achilles, that is the Grecian one as well. Huh? And we have Zeus, and we have Jupiter. Right. You know. And then we have the woman that, I think it's called Esther. The one that you see, a statue of which she has a lot of breasts. Supposed to be the goddess of fertility. All other gods and goddesses. I don't know, Persian have theirs. You know, so this book is written to these Christians who came to the Lord. These people came to the Lord. And so Paul is telling them, you know, you when you come together to keep the feast, keep this feast. And don't come to have your own idea and then come with your own philosophy and all your tradition and own idea that you know. Because every one of us have moral standard. Is that not true? Huh? So, sometimes we tend to judge people by our own standard. And that is really bad. You see what I'm saying? Huh? And I remember the time when people talk about racism. How in those days, many, you know, in the earlier centuries, when the white people sailed to Africa and tried to find resources and all that, they found gold, found copper, and then they make these African people slave. Because you see, the African people are not so advanced. They're all very simple people. So they think that because they are simple people, they are educated, don't know nothing. Control them, make them slave. See? And you know enough, in India, people eat with hands. Huh? So, there were jokes talk about how that the white man look at these Asian people and they are lowly. That's why they eat with hands, they don't have proper fork and spoon, they don't have what we call table etiquettes. You know what I mean? You know, I had those so-called table etiquette that is so high class. You know, the whole table is white cloth. The forks, three forks or spoons on one side and another three and then one in front of you above the plate. You ever see those things? And what are those for me? I don't know. You know, soup spoon, I mean, spoon is a spoon. You must use a soup spoon which is round. Which I think is placed in front of you or something. I can't remember. You know. So I find it so ridiculous. A knife is a knife. This is one for beef. This one is for potato. That sort of thing. And they think this is what we call civilized. People even hands are not civilized, brother. But originally when Adam and Eve and God created, they didn't have fork and spoon. And they don't even have chopsticks. And that's why the Chinese make fun of the white man. They have their food cooked, half cooked or something, bring it to the table, fork and knives and all on the table, start cutting it. And we Chinese, they say, we do all the cooking in the kitchen and all we have, there's no knife on the table. Just chopsticks and spoon. Is that right? So everybody has their own ideas, the standards and everything. Paul, and the same thing with people's idea about God, about this and that. So Paul said, when you come together, when you eat this feast, keep the feast, don't have your own ideas. Don't have any leavening. All right, but with the leavening of, neither with the leavening of malice and wickedness. Not because we have different groups of people out there. Even today. Alright, we have Christian churches. the marriage, the baptism, and all these things. Now I can fellowship with them, no problem, and talk with them. Like a son says this, when we talk about the word of God, and they would say, oh, you're false, you're a cop, you're this. Because why? We are not mainstream. Remember, they're always based on their standard. What is the mainstream? They always tell me, you're not mainstream. Ask me, tell me what is mainstream. Oh, the Baptist is a mainstream, Baptist is a mainstream, all the denominations now are organized, they're all mainstream religion. They're mainstream. In the days of Jesus Christ, the Pharisees was mainstream. The Sadducees was mainstream. The Herodians, they were mainstream, right? So when Jesus came, he started something new. Jesus cult. Is that not right? I asked the man. He never thought of it. Never thought of it. I said, I'm a Jesus cult. Because I follow Jesus. I said, you a Methodist? You're a Methodist cult. That's what both mean by the word cult. Cult means a people who believe in a religion or certain faith. But they want to say that they always want to use the word cult as because you follow a certain leader. Huh? A charismatic leader. Then I said, that makes Jesus Christ charismatic leader. Because when he came, they follow him. John the Baptist came, they follow John. But John was not very charismatic. He was a wild man. Is that right? So you got John the Baptist cult, Jesus cult, I'm one of them. So we are all cult. But I said, I am a Bible cult. So we need to understand when you definition, according to your own definition, don't. Now I'm telling the Methodist man who was a journey, I said, you're a Methodist. When John was a king, he started something new. And there were a group of followers. Do you believe that a lot of people they rejected John Wesley? And yet at that particular time, at that time the public called it a cult. Don't you think so? They say, yeah, I never thought of it too. But now Methodism is called mainstream. Huh? After so many hundreds of years, it became mainstream. Pentecost started in early 20th century. What did they call it? Holy Roller, trash. There's all kinds of names for Pentecost, but today they're accepted. Why? Because Pentecostal via charismaticism has entered into every church. You see. So you see how they pause it. Don't have all this malice. I can fellowship with a friend who's from whatever denomination. But the question is, would he accept me? You know. That is true. Alright, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth, you see, that's what the Bible talks about, speaking the truth in love. And I think it's very hard for many people to do that. Can you speak the truth in love without being scary that you might, you know, saying that I'm offended, brother and sister? No, you speak the truth. Like Sister Wendy says, if you are mature, you should be able to handle offense. Want the truth? Yeah. If you tell me that I'm this, I'm that, if I know, yeah, I'm not, I'm sorry. I would say, yeah, I'm wrong, yeah, I'm like this, I'm sorry, I'll try to improve myself. Or do I go home and feel, whoa, that this brother said this about me? Well, I think many of us would do that. That is very true because that's what I understand. Human behavior. Remember that email I sent out to you about the enigma of William Branham? The brother asked me, what are your thoughts on this? About the article the man wrote about William Branham. And I replied to him, when a man died in a car accident, you have a lot of things to say, right? Oh, he died in a car accident because he teaches false doctrine. He's a false prophet. He was a false prophet. And he did evil. How come such thing can be said? You always thought of that, don't you think? That's what the karma comes in. When somebody dies, somebody that we don't like, he died. Or she died. In a terrible accident. We all think about, oh, no wonder he's like that because he died like that.
That's human.
It's a carnality. You ever think of wonder of all the apostles? They're all together. How many apostles? 12 apostles that Jesus picked. 12 disciples that Jesus picked. One of them was a traitor. He's out. He hangs himself. Because he found no place to repent. No place. He betrayed Christ for 30 pieces of silver. And he realized what's wrong. He threw the money and the priest don't even want to touch it. That's betrayer's blood. On the coin. And Judas Iscariot went to repent. Find a place to cry. Say, God forgive me. God never even speak to him. He know that the Spirit of God have left him. Not even there. He kept on crying out. God never heard him. He know him. Repentance is useless. God never forgive him. He hang himself. What about the rest of the 11? In fact, there are another 12 who are always well known in the Bible too. Like Silas and Timothy. But those 11, how did they die? How did they die? Except for John, the last one, the youngest one. He was in prison in Patmos, then went back to Ephesus and preached until he died old age. But what about the rest? The ten of them. They died in a terrible death. Peter was turned upside down on the cross. He said, I'm not worthy to be on the cross. Turn the cross upside down. The Jews died that way. But some people say, oh my God, they died martyrs. Yeah, you can say they died martyrs. But one must say, died like that. And what about a lot of Christians? You know, they are put to the stake, especially in the day of in England, in Europe. The Catholic Church killed them. Because they would not bow down to the Catholic Church. Anyone who has a Bible, anyone who do practice chemistry, I'll call a witch. If you want to put herbs together to make medicine, they call you a witch. And they burn you at the stake. You possess a Bible, you are burned. What right do you have to do that? So they die a terrible death. But people say that these are witches. These are wicked people. Well, they can have anything to say. So how the person die? It's in the hands of God. And if God wants to make a fool of people who think that they are high mighty, that they know a lot, then they will be sorry in the day when they stand in judgment. So let us speak the truth in love. And as it says that when we come together, we are Christian, we eat the same food, let us have sincerity and truth. If you have something against a brother, you go to a brother and says, I'm sorry, I have against you something. Then tell the brother what is it that you feel that he's offending you. But don't keep it in the heart. Because you see, it will never go away. And if somebody has sinned against you, don't forgive. Even the person don't come and ask you for forgiveness. Like a brother who wrote me recently. And I told him, I said, I've already forgiven you. The only thing that is that it's on your side of how you obey the scripture. You know, he never really asked for forgiveness the way it should be. But he's already forgiven you. But it's up to you now. Because when you know, if I sin against, for example, if I sin against you, Brother John, you've forgiven me already, right? But I never approach you to ask for forgiveness. And I know that I did something bad to you. Now, if I don't do that, the conscience is there. The Spirit is telling you, go and talk to him. Even though he has forgiven me, it's one thing. Is that I must go and talk to the brother. I'm sorry I did this. Because the Bible says, Jesus said, before you come to your altar with a gift for God, you better leave your gift here at the altar. Go to the brother your offense before you come back. Then you come back and talk to me. That's what God was saying.
So you see that sort of thing, but why are we, the Paul is talking about here, if we keep the feast with the word of God, we eat the Paschal lamb, which is God, in Christ Jesus, the Lamb of God, who broke his body for us, that we become a part of his body, you know, and we are eating the pure word of God and understanding, then Paul says, let us do it right. Punch the old leavening out. You know, you become a new lamb. Speaking the truth in love and sincerity. Alright, so now we have about the 7 days. I want to close in this and continue, but let me continue a few bit more. Now, you know the Passover is only 1 day. Okay? And we know that at even after 6 p.m., the Sabbath starts, the 15th day. They eat the Passover together with an unleavened bread. Remember this. Now, there is no interval. That's one interesting fact about it. There is no interval. There is no breakage of another day from here to here or from here to here. Things like that. So, there is a direct, on the very same night when they eat the Passover, they also eat the unleavened bread with it. Now, you know how important that is. There is no way when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, says, Lord, I'm a sinner. I repent of my sin. Give me the Holy Spirit. I want a new birth. So when Jesus gives you the Holy Spirit, you become anew. Okay? Because you have come to partake of Him as the Passover lamb, the one who died for you. So when you do that, immediately you have to eat the unleavened bread with it. Now then you come to the hear the gospel, oh Jesus, I thank you very much for saving my soul. I want to be a Christian, this and that, bless me, Lord. And after that, you just go away. You don't fellowship? You don't eat the word of God? How is it possible? That's why in America call it a Christian country. Europe call themselves also Christian country. But are they really Christian? Or is it just in name only? And I know people, you know, when they fill in the form for those days, I'm not sure about today, I don't think they ask you about your religion. But in those days, when you apply for a job, they ask you about your religion. Sometimes people don't know how to put, no religion. Okay, I'll just put Buddhist. I'll just put Christian. You know what I mean? But they are not. So if you are really one who is born again by the Passover Lamb of God who died for you, then after that you receive of that Spirit of His, you have to eat the unleavened bread together. There is no interval. It's on the very same night they partake of the Paschal Lamb. Do you see the importance of this? Okay? And the dog pose on the door out there, the blood is already applied. Not for anybody to see, but for God to see. And all your business is to do is to get in with God in a secret place, in a shut-in door, in the church, eating of the unleavened bread together. Alright, so the 7th day of unleavened bread. After you have become a Christian, you come in here, the whole 7th day shows the whole week of your life. Now you are not a Christian only on Sunday. If you are only a Christian Sunday, have you ever heard? But people say, Sunday Christian? Yeah. Sunday Christian. They are not 7 days a week Christian. So when we are Christian, we should be a Christian every day of the week. Not just a Sunday Christian. Not just on that day when the Passover lamb was served. So we have 7 days of communion with the Lord. And all this, my life as a Christian, as for every day of the week, which is a cycle, every week it just repeats itself, then we realize that if it is real to us, our experience real, we find that our life is founded on the blood of the Lamb. It is founded on the love of God who died on Mount Calvary. That has to be real because of the blood.
Okay, so in every day of the week, you live a life of Christ, you put away anything that leaven, anything that corrupts your life. How important that is to your life. So that's Paul said, put it out, all that which leaven. Don't have any malice, don't have any wickedness, thought or things like that. Amen? God bless you, let us pray. Heavenly Father, blessed be thy name, Lord. Take the word further and feed us, Lord. Tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, let the whole week, Father, be filled with your presence as you walk in the light of the Spirit of Christ, eating of the unleavened bread of God. We know, Father, you feed us, even though when we are in an office, or on the bus, on the train, we can speak to you, we can fellowship with you in our heart and spirit. And knowing the Lord, you take the word that we have learned and remind us of the things that we have learned to keep in our heart and live the life for the glory of Christ Jesus, our Lord. So, Father, we ask for your grace to continue to guide us and feed us until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, until we see him face to face, Lord. We are hastening, O Lord, Father, for his return. So help us, Father, in our walk, that we glorify the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, that our life be truly worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you. Bless the word now in Jesus' name. Amen.